You know, what a blessing to sit in the house of God today. And the singing that goes on, I mean, hearing the kids out there shouting and yelling. I mean, man, I just love sitting over here and hearing that. I mean, it's so beautiful. And Pastor always talks to me. You guys hear it down there, but you really have to hear it from up here. I think it sounds great up here. And hearing these little kids clapping and singing to, you know, are you washing the blood? Today, are you washing the blood? And who's really washing the blood today? I know I can speak for myself, and I'm washing the blood. And that song's joy to me to sing, because I know what has happened. I know what's happened in my life. I know what went on. And what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. This is all the notes I have today. It's a miracle. Usually I have to write a bunch of stuff down, but this is a pretty good one. How do I know it's pretty good? Because I lived it. It happened to me. We're going to go to Mark 5. We're going to start in Mark 5. This happened to me at salvation. You know, I'm sure it happens to every believer when they get saved. And, man, listen. For all the people who are out here struggling, having a hard time in life, I'm telling you right now, as I stand here today, there's hope. There's a hope that you'll know. I'm just telling you right now, God will help everything that goes on in your life. You just give it a chance. Don't walk away from it if it doesn't happen in one day. Give it a chance. Go ahead and give it your true heart. Give it everything. And say, you know what? What's going on in my life right now is not working anymore. It's time for me just to give up. I mean, give up who you are. Give it up. Walk away from it, because it's not ever going to help you. I'll tell you, when you get that to that place in your life, when you get to that point in your life, God will make a difference. He'll move in. He'll start doing things in your life never thought possible. We're just over there talking near the piano. Just some of the crazy stuff that I used to do in my past. And my mom has witnessed me do it quite a few times. I would just go ahead and run to somebody and start patting them down for their money. Flip them over, do all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm taking your money out of your pocket. That's just the type of person I used to be. I give them 10 minutes to go cash a paycheck if they had one. You're going to cash a paycheck. You got 10 minutes and bring it back to me. That's the type of person I was. If not, I went looking for you. Just crazy. Something happened to me. Something happened to me that pills didn't do. Drugs, alcoholism, violence. None of that stuff worked for me. It didn't change who I was. It didn't stop who I was. Hey, my mother's love didn't change me. The love that I could have for my other children didn't change me. It was only by the blood of Jesus Christ that changed me. That saved somebody like me. Are you washing the blood? There's a reason why they ask, are you washing the blood? Something happens when a person is washing the blood. I mean, so you can call me brainwashed and every other thing you want. And you know what? I'll tell you, absolutely I am. And I love being brainwashed. Am I perfect? No. You ask my wife and my kids, I still make mistakes. Matthew 5. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm sorry, Mark 5. Verse 1, you guys know the story. And they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes, and when it was come out, the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No man, not with chains. No, not with chains, excuse me. Because that which had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have they to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now they were nigh unto the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that they may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave the leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered in swine. And her ran violently deep down a deep place in the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and the country that it went to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and see that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I'm just here to tell you today, that man that was bound up. Not only did I have feathers on me my whole life, but I had the feathers of sin that had me so bound up, and I was not in my right mind. The things that I did, the things that I thought, the places that I've done things in, had me that I was not in my right mind. I'm going to start back here on verse 1. And they came over to the other side, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with unclean spirits. I'm telling you today, as I stand here today, I was a man of unclean spirits. I was a man full of hatred. I had stuff going on in my heart, in my life, that just wasn't natural. Something had to be in there to do these things to me and help me do these things that were just unnatural for a person to feel and do. It just wasn't natural for me to act this way. My mother may have not been perfect, but she didn't raise me to go out there and be a fool. See, I was a man of unclean spirits. I like to live an unclean life. And when you live an unclean life, unclean things happen to you. That you don't, things aren't good. The lifestyle you think that you're living, you're clean. I'm going to tell you right now, you're unclean. You stand before a holy God, He sees everything that's going on, and you are unclean in His eyes. Matter of fact, those are filthy rags. That's where our righteousness is in front of God. Filthy rags. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but you can just use your head. You know what that means. Number 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Back when I was younger, the cops in 3 different states used to call me a jackrabbit. Because they knew that when they were coming after me, I'm out of here. You're not just putting me in chains. You're not just going to shackle me up. You're going to chase me. We're going to get helicopters out and everything else. That's what I'm doing. Listen, you weren't binding me up and keep me nowhere. I'm running. And so the men, at time and time again, they catch me and put me in chains. They put me in prison. They put me in mental hospitals and drug rehabs. They used to actually fill my head with all this garbage. They would actually fill my body with all this garbage and tell me that I'm going to be okay. I'm just telling you now, I wasn't okay. When I walked out of those places, I wasn't any better. I was out of my mind. There was nothing about my mind that I had. I did Christian math. I was absolutely freaking out one day. And you know where they caught me? I remember the story because my dad told me it was in the newspaper and everything else. And I'm down in Florida at this time. I'm crystal meth. And I remember them on the news hearing about a man running down Daytona Beach, running down the street naked. That was me. Naked. Running down the street out of my mind. Had no clue what was going on from that crystal meth. None. They finally got me into the hospital. Got me down enough, they would shoot me with all this medicine. They shoot me with all this crazy stuff because they thought I was going to have a heart attack. They thought I was going to die. And they're trying to save my life. They had so much crystal meth in my heart. Should have just exploded. I should have been dead that day in the hospital. And I discovered that every few minutes coming in, they're shooting me with this stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? I finally came to my tomb and I realized they're trying to get me down. I'm too high. They're trying to get me down. Does that sound like somebody was in their right mind? Somebody had a clean spirit in them. I'm walking around doing things I'm supposed to be doing. I'm telling you now, on this day, when you're an unsaved person, there's not clean things. You're not in your right mind. There's something about you that's not right. And God tries to show everybody about that. You know what? But people don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it about themselves. That's a problem with society. They don't want to hear nothing that's negative about them. That's why I know, and Pastor Nicholas can tell you, we know that man did not come up with this Bible, that God had to come up with it because it tells you exactly what you are, makes you see exactly what you are, and you can face that, and He'll save you. He never intended you to be the way you are. Did you ever think about that? God never intended you to be the way you are. He's got better things going for you.
Amen.
He's got something better in mind with you, but you think that you know it. You think that you have the answer. You think that you know everything. And somebody will come up, they'll tell you, hey, here's the answer. Let's start doing this, start doing that. Let God have His way in your life. You don't want to hear nothing about it. You know what? I'm just telling you. I was talking to Amy yesterday. I said, you know what? This is how crazy the generations have become. The promise of a better, fulfilling, peaceful life is promised to them in Jesus Christ, and they want nothing to do with it. They rather go out there and live in that misery. If somebody, somebody in the past could have came up to me and said, there's a way you can have a better, more peaceful, fulfilling life, I would have went after that. I would have. I was at the point in my life where I was just looking for something. But you know what? Every time them people used to try to come up to me, I would kick at them, spit at them, throw stuff. I don't want to hear that garbage. You know what? And we try to wave flags to young people. I'll tell you right now, every day there's somebody praying for you. Every day somebody's waving a flag for you, trying to tell you, listen, there's a better life out there. There's a better way of life. Things can happen. Listen, you don't have to sit in the shoes that you're sitting in. It just don't have to be that way anymore. You think that you're trapped in the trap, you're the one keeping yourself there. God gives you a way out. It may not be easy. It may take a while. But there's a way out. He will make a way for you to get out of it. He does not want you there. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go to be in your right mind today? Drug free, alcohol free, smoke free, free free. That's what I am, free free. Free. I mean, I'm free. I'm free. I tried so hard being free of all this other craziness, but I'm free tonight. I'm free as I stand here today at 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm free. I don't need anything to make me happy. I need Jesus to make me happy. And I take that very seriously. I take my reading and my praying, and so I take it very serious. I love my life. I mean, I put a thing on there the other day on Facebook and Weebly, and I was like, you know what? God didn't put me on earth to go ahead and defend His Bible. He chose other men and women to do that. But I'll tell you right now, I can prove His Word, and not by me knowing everything in the Bible, because I don't know crap about the Bible. But here's one thing I can tell you about the Bible. This is what's gonna prove the Bible to you. Watch my life. Look where I've come from and to where I am today. Keep your eyes on my wife and kids. See where they came from. Listen to their testimony. That's how I can prove my life. That's how I can prove that Bible's right. Because there ain't nothing in this world, not jail, not prison, not mental hospitals, not rehabs, not streets, not beatings, not anything else that could ever make me the man that I am today. That Bible did. Huh? You say, well, that's only words, really. That's only words to you. But I'm telling you right now, when you open your heart and your mind to what God has to say, they become a living word. They become a living fountain for you. And I'm telling you right now, there's something God has in there for each and every one of us. If you would just open your eyes and your heart to it. But that's the thing. Not everybody wants that. Number 5. And always night and day, He was in the mountains, in their tombs, crying and cutting Himself with stones. I was a cutter. Many, many times I'd sit there and cut myself. Many times I'd sit there crying and cut myself. And you know what it did me? No good. Did it help me? It did me not a bit of good. Crying and I give up on life. It's over with. I'm just going to go ahead and try to... Let me tell you something. That's not going to do anything but feed the devil. That's what he wants from you. He wants you to throw that flag up and say, I'm done with it. I quit. I quit. Let me tell you something. It's not worth quitting. I mean, here... Suicide is a weak way out. Okay? I'm sorry. I've had some rough times in my life. But I thank God He's never let me go over that edge. But I've always stopped myself in time because even before I got saved, I always says, that's a weak way out. And you know, Pastor says it right. Is it really me that I'm hurting? I'm hurting the rest of my family. I'm hurting everybody in my family, from my kids, my wife. So, if you're contemplating suicide here today, you know what? You're selfish. Just selfish. Okay? You sit here and tell me you're in your right mind thinking about suicide. Tell me you're in your right mind. You got the answer to everything. Tell me you're in your right mind today, and you're thinking about that. Go ahead. Please, somebody stand up here and say, yeah, I thought about suicide in the last couple days or whatever. I'm in my right mind, really. Tell me that, really, are you? You have the answer? You really know what you're doing, right? I don't know what I'm doing. I can admit that to you. Do you know what you're doing? I can admit that I have no clue what I'm doing. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who knows where I'd be today? Maybe not even alive. It's a very good possibility that I would not be here today. Whether it would have been of myself, whether it would have been, my mom knows, I've had many people shoot me, stab at me, and all this kind of crazy stuff. I would not be here today. Why? I didn't have the answer. I wasn't in my right mind. I wasn't thinking right. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. I remember coming here 6 months ago. I mean, came here with just absolutely closed mind. They weren't here now. The only thing that really made me want to come here, number one, my wife for 3 months begged me to come here. Number two, I heard that pastor preach the King James Bible. For something, I don't know what it is. I mean, since I ever got into looking at any kind of religion or anything, I always just loved the King James Bible. But even before I got saved, there was something about the King James Bible that gripped my heart. That's one of the reasons why I came to this church. Am I lying, Amy? I said, man, she's like, he really preaches the Bible different. He preaches word for word. And I mean, she knew that I had loved that stuff in the past, and that's what made me come to this church. And I'll tell you, when that Bible started getting preached to me, and my eyes started getting open, and I started realizing some things, it wasn't long before I was on pastor's porch crying one day and said, I'm lost. Now here I am, I'm half beating my wife, drinking, treating my kids miserable, and I'm calling myself saved. Listen, I'm not saying a saved person can't do that, but more than likely, God is going to tear you out the frame. Okay? You're not going to stay in that situation for long, and if you do, it's just going to be such a hellish life. I'm not saying it can't happen to a saved person, but I'm telling you this, I was lost, walking around thinking I was saved. Okay, I'm glad I got lost. First of all, you have to realize you're lost before you can get found. Not a bad place to be. I'm telling you right now, God has got, man, listen. God's got your number two ways. Either you're going to get saved or go to hell. That's up to you. Let him show you how that you're lost. Let him bring you to that place. People can't get to that place anymore these days. That's taken from them. People come in with all this other garbage. You know, they come in with all this stuff and it just blinds you. I mean, you have no. I mean, my wife, we walked around really thinking that we were saved, really thinking we were doing the right thing. We were almost like Paul out there, thinking he was doing the right thing for God. I mean, absolutely corrupted everything we ever did. Yeah, we look good when we went to church and this and that. We'd get home and just forget it. We'd be drinking, smoking. I mean, just, that's not Christian life. You know, here's the Christian life. My Christian life doesn't consist of that kind of stuff. Excuse me. I'm not saying, listen, if you're doing that kind of stuff and saved, God didn't get out of your life. We smoked for over a year and a half of being saved. It's not going to last though. Why? Because he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things will become new. It's going to become new. Things are going to become new in your life. Pastor didn't stay the same. Ruth Ann didn't stay the same. You save people here, you're not staying the same. You've changed. Your life has become a totally different. You've become a totally different person than what you were. Why? You got the Word of God living in you. You got Jesus Christ living inside your life. Something's got to happen. Something's got to break in there. It has to be broken. My kids would not know how to live their life if me and my wife didn't teach them. I wouldn't know how to live my life if the Bible and the Lord didn't teach me. I just said, Amy, pastor knows, anybody, did I know how to be a husband? I'm not perfect at it. But did I know how to be a dad to my children? I'm not perfect at it, but I can do that now. You ask my wife if they're happy. Ask my kids if they're happy. They have a dad who loves them and does the best. Listen, just because I'm not at work right now doesn't mean I don't take care of my family. You got that sadly mistaken. You got that sadly mistaken if you think that I'm not working right now, I don't take care of my family, because I do. Okay? I don't just sit at home and do nothing. I teach my son. I get stuff as much as I can physically get done around my house. My wife comes home, and for 99% of the time, everything's done in the house. I'm not going to make her go out there and work and me sit home and do nothing. I don't have an Xbox sitting in front of me and video game. I don't have all that garbage sitting in front of me. I have a family. Now when I get back to work, it's going to be a little more stress on both of us, because then we're both going to come home. And listen, these days, I wish to God that I could, my wife could sit home and I could be out there working. But I'm just telling you, until God opens that door for me to be able to get out there and do that, it may not happen for me and Amy. She may have to work the rest of her life, and me too. And that's just how it's going to be. Okay, I don't get down on anybody if their wife can stay home. But right now, the situation doesn't work for us. If God ever makes that situation happen, I'll be the happiest. She won't. I won't. She don't want to sit home. Okay, but I will be happy for that. I don't have an issue with me going out and working. But right now it's not working out that way. It just isn't working out that way. And I'm okay. Now this the whole point that I was trying to get at. That's enough. I must be in my right mind to love my wife and my kids. I must be in my right mind to want to spend every day with my wife and my kids. I must be in my right mind when I want to come home and go to bed with my wife. I mean, go to sleep. Okay, I must be in my right mind when I want to sit there and after 12 years of being together, we still hold each other. I mean, I must be in my right mind that when my kids go to bed at night, that we pray together. I must be in my right mind when something happens, a decision, whether it's hard or whether it's easy, that I can stand up and make that decision like a man. Thinking not of myself. Not being selfish of me, but thinking about what's going to be the consequences for my family behind it. I'm not perfect at it. I battle some trouble. We're going to get out of it. I vow to my family that we're going to get ourselves out of this trouble. Okay? Because of the mistakes that I made. But guess who's got my back? Turn around, everybody. That's her right there. There she is. She's got my back. She knows that I'm making decisions solely based on our family and not just me. So let me tell you something, Mr. Man. If you're making decisions in your family based on just you and not your wife and kids and all that, you better step down off that high horse or God will step you off that high horse. I'm telling you that right now. I pay a horrible price. Man, this morning, me and my wife kind of got in a little scuffle. I'm not talking about fighting, calling each other names and all that. I'm not talking about, but we just had a little disagreement. I'm going to tell you something right now. Before I left the house, did I not come up and give you a hug and say, Amy, I am so sorry for how I just treated you. Because I know that if I would walk out of that house, I would get the rest of my day. I mean, God would just torn me out of the frame, man. I can't get away with treating my wife like that. Maybe you got some kind of special power, but God doesn't let me do that to my wife or my kids. I have to get it right almost immediately. And if I see something's wrong with my wife, I have to go, did I do something, Amy? Please, I have to beg her, please tell me. I just need to get it right. Because there's something I did wrong, and I don't want... I tell you, God is serious when He says you treat your wife wrong, He's going to take care of you. God is dead serious about the way He says that in His Word. So I must be... You know what that helps me be? It helps me be in my right mind. When my wife and kids are happy, I'm happy. When everything's running smooth, it's a happy life. Just a happy life. Autumn come home last week. That little girl's trying hard, man. She doesn't understand much right now at 6 years old. But she came home, she said, I vow not to lie ever again. Alright, she's 6 years old. Okay, no problem. I'm going to tell you what though. She came home and we just knew the answer to this thing. So we said, Autumn, what's going on? Blah, blah. She told us. She goes, and I'm not lying. I said, it's hard to trust you guys. I said, okay, I'll believe you. Sure enough, that little girl was telling the truth. Not only one time, but two times, three times, and four times in a week. She just came home and just absolutely told the truth. Is she ever going to lie again? Of course she will. But you know what? Do you see what's going on with her? She's not wanting to live the lifestyle that I used to live. She doesn't want to have that lying in her life. She's starting to see some things. She's starting to realize, hey, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing to be lying. Maybe I should, it's better off to tell the truth in my house, isn't it, Luke? No matter what, yeah. It's better off because if I find out you're lying, you're getting it triple worse. Because I don't put up with lying. Don't lie in my house. Don't you dare lie to me in my house. Why? Because I'm not going to trust you and that's going to be your fault. I'm going to spank you, do whatever I have to do to you. Because from now on, that's what I was trying to tell Josh and Luke this morning. I said, well, why don't you believe me, Mom? Because you started lying. You know where I got that from? I listened to the pastor one time. You know what? How truthful is that? You don't trust your kids because they started lying to you. Now they want, please, please believe me, please. Yeah, really? No. Okay? You know what? Just watch your kids. Sometimes they can make you in your right mind. Autumn had no intentions on being deceitful when she said she was going to tell the truth for the rest of her life. That came from her whole true heart. That's what she really meant. If we can learn some stuff from that. God wants us to come with Him with our true whole heart. He wants to come with us with our mind open on what He's got to say. What He's got to say. Who are we to say anything? We can't say anything. Who are we to say anything? Alright, crying. I adjured thee about God, thou torment me not. God, Jesus never tormented me, not once. Not once! Can I recall in the last 2.5 years of being saved where I can ever remember Jesus tormenting me? He says, I'll make your burdens, come on, I'll make it easier for you. And the troubles we go through some troubles. Let me just tell you now, Montgomery, when the troubles are coming, God's working, okay? Just go ahead and buckle up, buckle in, and get ready to go for a ride. I said on Facebook, she laughed about it. I said, when the cars are not working, God is. When the vehicles are broke, God's working. Don't worry about it, He's got you. I'm telling you, man, when troubles come, buckle up, because God's going to move. The most God has ever moved in my life has been in times of trouble that I've been in trouble. I mean, just times of real hard times. God has really moved in our life. And I just had a good prayer the other day about the Montgomerys. I told Amy, I said, Amy, I said, you know what? I said, if the Montgomerys would get this, that when troubles come, God's moving. God's about to make a move in your life. Okay? When troubles come, God's about to make a move in your life. And it's not going to be a bad move. It's going to be a good move. You just go ahead and don't wave up that flag. Don't give up. You just keep pushing forward. Keep going. He's got something for you. I promise you that. How do I know that? Because I lived it. I lived it in the past 2.5 years. I haven't lived all that much, but I know enough to know when God is moving. And when there's troubles and you stay strong and you rely on Him, He's moving. He's getting ready to make a move. And I tell you, it's a blessing. What a blessing to have God move in your life. When is the last time God moved in your life? When is the last time God moved in your life? When is the last time He gave you that true peace and joy? I mean, I get up every morning and I can't even walk. My legs are swollen. I am just absolutely hurt. But I just know. Here's how I cheer myself up. You get to read your Bible. So I tell myself, man, I'm getting ready to go read my Bible here soon. That cheers me up. I get excited because I just get this feeling in my heart. I'm ready. I mean, things are turning and I'm getting ready to go ahead and read my Bible. I'm going to be okay for today. I'm going to make it through. He lights me up. He tells me about myself, and then He shows me some things, and I enjoy being in my Bible every single day. God forbid if I miss a day. I mean, and I don't say I don't. I do sometimes. Sometimes I just don't have a choice, but I try real hard not to. I tell you, if I have to go somewhere immediately in the morning, I do have a good King James app on my phone, and I'll sit there no matter where I'm at, if I have whatever appointment, and I'll read my Bible right there. I know my daily readings, where I'll stay in the hospital overnight. Amy brings me up my reading, what I have to read for the day. I mean, I'm serious with that. I pack my Bible when I go to the hospital. I mean, I'm serious about this Bible stuff, man. I mean, I'm serious about it. Why do you think a person like me is serious about it? Do you really think there's something to it, maybe? I think there's something to it. I really think there's something to it. If you don't think there's something to it, then you got another thing coming. In your right mind. We're the ones who are crazy, guys, because we believe in King James Bible. You know, we're the ones who are crazy because we want to live in King James Bible. I think we're the ones in our right mind. We're looking at a bunch of nuts. That's what it comes down to. We're looking at a bunch of nuts. You know, but we can't call them names. God forbid they'll start suing us and everything else, you know. But they can say whatever they want to a Christian. And that's something. They get away with anything they want to a Christian. But you say one thing to them, I'll go, oh. I mean, my goodness. They want to puke on you. All right, I'm trying to get through this. I'm just going to go where God brings me. Verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Right, that's a scary. I mean, could you imagine being this guy standing there and he's got all the, I mean, Legion. Just tore up. But I'm just going to tell you now, today, as we sit here, there's no sane people sitting in church pews today. Don't think they are, because they are. Okay, I mean, this stuff is real. The stuff that happens in the Bible, I hear it all the time where scientists are like, you know what? We should have listened to the people in the times of the Bible. You know, you should have listened to it a long time ago. Now it's just now you're coming to that point that the things in the Bible are true and real. I mean, really, it's taking you this long? Mr. Scientist, since you've known everything, Mr. Genius? I mean, I'm about as dumb as they come when they... I mean, really. My brain is so fried with drugs and alcohol and all this crazy stuff. But if I could take a King James Bible and see the things that God has shown me, you mean to tell me these scientists and all that, they can't see nothing? You know, here's what their problem is. Too blind with their own knowledge. They got a puffed up head and they think they know everything. You know, God just needs to take a safety pin and bust that up a little bit. That's some of that air out of there. Ain't nothing in there for me. Give me a King James Bible, I'm happy. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm not just saying that to make me look good. I don't look good carrying the Bible. People don't say, oh, look how good you look. You got a Bible. No. What are you, a nut? That's what I get. What are you, crazy? You got a Bible in your hand? You know? We don't get good compliments because we're Christians and dress nice. Oh, I can't dress like this. I must be something. I got to be a fake religious person if I dress like this. I don't dress this way for anybody but me and my God. That's the only reason why I dress this way. And I'm comfortable, so that's all we're going to leave it. Number 10. And he besought him much. They would send him away out of the country. Now there was... I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get over into 14. And they that fed the swine fled. This is, you know, today. This is today. This is where a lot of people were at. And they fed the swine. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see it was that was done. Listen, when I go out there and I tell people what has happened in my life, what Jesus Christ has done for me, these people aren't running up to me, patting me on my back. They're running from me. They do not want to hear what Jesus has done for you.
That's right.
They are just like these people who are out there. Why? Why are they feeding swine? This world is a swine. These world are all swine, and everybody's out there feeding them. And then when you go out there and try to tell these people a little common sense, a little something the Bible gives you, they don't want to hear it. They'll come and see you and see, oh, maybe that has happened. Maybe not. But they don't want to hear it. You know what? I'm going to tell you now. With as many people as I've told, gave the word to and gave my testimony to, and I mean, people in this area, the people I've met and the people I've talked to, how many of them are on this pew tonight? Today? They don't want to hear it. They're like these people who are feeding the swine. They want nothing to do with it. You get one once in a while, man, that you know gets it and realizes, hey, maybe there's something to that. But you go out there and you can spill your guts and not one person will listen to you. Not one person. 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Why are you afraid of something that's good? Why would you be afraid because Dale Morey's changed? I mean, you listen to me, people. Yeah, from sitting in my point, I can say people didn't like me very much when I lived the old Dale lifestyle. But you know what? How crazy they are? They have a hard time with me now. They have a harder time with me now being clean in my right mind than when I lived a crazy life. That's something? Ain't that something? I mean, they're afraid of what I have. They're absolutely afraid. Oh, if I step foot in that church, I might change. I might have to give some up. Something different might become about me. Listen, people whine and cry all the time. They don't like the life and they're sick. They're tired of it and this and that. But you go ahead and tell them, hey, let's just start this. Let's get, you know what? They don't listen to you. But you know, go ahead and walk into a psychiatrist's office or something else and take every pill in the world and nothing ever happens to them. But yet a preacher or somebody who's up here trying to love them and show them something, they want to hear nothing. They want nothing to do with it. Listen, you take this for what you want. But I'm telling you right now, today, the cure is Jesus, man. For whatever you have. I'm just telling you now, the cure is Jesus. I don't care what it is in your life. There's nothing He doesn't know. There's nothing He cannot handle. There's nothing too big for God. Take God out of that little box that you have Him in that's sitting on your dresser. Take Him out of there and put Him where He's supposed to be. In everything. He's the cure. He is the cure if you want the cure. If you don't want the cure, then stab it in your sickness. That's where you're right now. If you really wanted a cure, if you really wanted something different, don't you think that you would wonder where the cure is? Listen, there's people that tell you every single day, every single week, where the cure is. Why are you running from it? Mental problems? Cure. There's a cure of Jesus. Alcoholism? There's a cure. His name is Jesus. Drug addict? There's a cure. His name is Jesus. Depression, there's a cure, His name is Jesus. A womanizer, abuser, I mean a robber, a thief, there's a cure, His name is Jesus. I mean, listen to me. You're looking at somebody who doesn't understand my entire story, you hear just the things that come out of my mouth, but I'm just telling you now the violence that I breathe. I was a very violent person. It took 7 to 8 people to pull me off a person. I would beat them until I could almost kill them if I could have had the chance. Thank God I had people looking out for me and would pull me off of somebody before it's too late. But I'm just telling you now there's a cure for that anger. His name is Jesus. There's a cure for that bitterness. His name is Jesus. Cure for that loneliness, and His name is Jesus. There's a cure for every single thing that is in your life. His name is Jesus. And He will make you in your right mind. He will make you in your right mind. I promise you that today. I'm in my right mind. You look at me like I'm a nut up here, but I'm telling you now, I'm in my right mind. The one who doesn't have Jesus is not the one in the right mind. You're making rash decisions. I mean, you think your life is over, and I'm just telling you now, the whole thing can change. The whole mindset, the whole life, the whole heart, it can all be different. I look at my wife and I stand amazed all the time. I just watch what God does for her. She doesn't see it all the time. But I sit back and watch all the time. I just go, hey, can you see it, honey? God doesn't want these kids that are in your classroom. There's other 811 classrooms around and all, but God doesn't want them going anywhere else. He wants them in her class. Teachers walk up to her all the time. I kid you not, Jim. You know what they say to her? She's a miracle worker. Am I lying? No, I'm not lying. And that's why they keep sending kids to her. They go, we just can't believe that you get these kids to do these things. It's just impossible. What it says on this paper. Wait, they can't possibly act like that.
She loves them.
That's right.
That's right.
She has the love of Jesus. And why can't they act like that? Don't tell me. Man, there's a cure. There's somebody who's in the right mind. His name is Jesus. I'm telling you right now. To go ahead and take my wife from the person I know of 12 years. Listen, you don't have to live the life you're living. You don't have to be trapped anymore. You can be free. I mean, you can be absolute 100% free. You can be in your right mind today. That's what Jesus says. That's what He promises. And I've done it.